Let us pray. A te api chihinku ki, na woni a wakaki he, wakanta ka wajina ki, he woita yuha noe. Amen. Please be seated. I am Bradley Hoff. I was born and raised in South Dakota. If you don't know where South Dakota is, it's south of North Dakota. My last name is spelled H-A-U-F-F. H as in hotel, A as in alpha, U as in uniform, and two Fs as in my high school report card. I'm just kidding about that. I'm just kidding. Not about South Dakota. That really is south of North Dakota. I live in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis-St. Paul, Minnesota. I've lived there for almost my entire adult life. St. Paul, in particular, the St. Paul side. And they're a little directionally challenged in St. Paul. If you've ever been there, or even if you haven't, the west side of St. Paul is south of downtown. In fact, it's the southernmost part of the city. Is known as the West Side of St. Paul. There is a suburb called West St. Paul, and that is directly south of the West Side. There's another suburb called South St. Paul, and that's directly east of West St. Paul. And the part of the city of St. Paul that directionally is the farthest west, that's called Highland Park. So if you're ever going to visit St. Paul, bring a map and not a compass. A compass isn't going to do you any good at all. I've been driving around here in Seattle trying to find things. I'm not very familiar with the area. I have a rental car. If any of you saw a really sharp-looking white BMW 2 Series in the parking lot, guess who's driving it? That's my rental car. I didn't ask for a BMW. I didn't. I asked for a VW Jetta. They didn't have any. So I asked for a Toyota Corolla. They didn't have any. And so I said, well, what do you have? Well, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to upgrade you to a BMW. So I got a free upgrade. Yeah. It is a very, very sharp, impressive car. And I don't know how to drive it. It's taken me the last 48 hours to learn how to drive that thing. It took the longest time to learn how to put it in reverse. So if any of you see me driving around, my advice is try to stay as far away as possible. I am the presiding bishop's missioner for Indigenous Ministries. I am enrolled in the Oglala Lakota Oyate, the Oglala Sioux tribe in South Dakota. Both my parents were enrolled in the same tribe, and they were survivors of the indigenous boarding schools or residential schools that operated in this country from the 1870s until the middle of the 20th century. I began this sermon with a prayer in the Lakota language, and I greet you with Lakota words, "How mitakuyepi." How mutakiepi. I'm wondering if maybe we can say that together. If you can repeat after me, we'll do it one word at a time. The first word, how. Hey, that's pretty good. My goodness, you're going to be speaking fluent Lakota in no time. Second word's a little more complicated. Mitakuyepi. Oh, you got that one too. Now let's say them all together. How mitakuyepi? Good, good for you. That does my heart good. Now that you've said it out loud in church, do you want to know what it means? Maybe I shouldn't tell you. Don't worry, you didn't curse. It means hello, relatives. Hello, relatives. The Lakota people greet one another with these words, and not just other people, fellow human beings. To the Lakota, as with virtually all Indigenous people, everyone and everything exists in a state of relationship. People, yes, but also animals, fish, birds, insects, trees, every living thing. And even that which to the mind of Western civilization is not living. Things like wind, rocks, and the stars and planets of the cosmos are seen as people. So when Lakota people pray or whenever we speak, we typically conclude with the phrase, Metakwasi. Metakwasi, which means all my relatives. To Indigenous people, the universe is a living being, alive and well. The earth and the cosmos in its entirety are our relatives. They are not our possessions to exploit any more than one of your relatives would be. Think of it. All that is your relative. If you haven't yet seen things that way, think of how it would change your life and change your world if you did. Because we see everything as related, it's no surprise that one of the principal values of Indigenous people is generosity. Generosity. Giving, sharing, putting others first. It's such a part of our culture that it is often said that if you're not generous, you're not Indigenous, regardless of your ancestry. I've been thinking a lot about that during this Lenten season. And as Lent comes to a close at the end of this week, I want to give you some things to consider. In today's reading from John, we have a story that is found in all four Gospels. The stories are not identical, word for word, but basically what happens is that Jesus is the guest of honor at a dinner party. A woman enters the scene and anoints him with very expensive perfume. In Matthew and Mark's accounts, the woman anoints Jesus' head. In Luke's account, the woman weeps at Jesus' feet and anoints them while wiping her tears away from his feet with her hair. In today's gospel, from John, we have a similar story. Bible scholars debate about whether or not these four stories are about the same event, with some variance in the details, or if they are four separate and distinct events. In all honesty, we don't know for sure. But what we do know is that in three of these stories, the ones found in Matthew and Mark and Luke, the woman who performs this act is not identified. She's a mystery, and it prompts a lot of speculation about who she is and why she might be doing something like this. In John's gospel, as we just heard, the woman is named Mary. Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, the Lazarus whom Jesus had earlier raised from the dead. The Mary who, according to Luke's gospel, loved to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his stories and his teachings instead of doing housework. The Mary who was so hurt and angry with Jesus because he was late in coming to see her dying brother Lazarus that she wouldn't go out to meet with him. Her only statement was, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." In her own way, Mary gave Jesus a piece of her mind. In this story, she gives him much more than that. I do believe that naming who did this is important because it's extraordinary. It's an extraordinary event. Not only is it something that doesn't happen every day, it is in many ways outrageous. To begin with, the perfume cost about as much as the annual salary earned by a laborer in that day. In today's economy, it's estimated to be about $20,000. A $20,000 bottle of perfume poured out onto someone's feet. And then Mary does something that in those days was probably seen as quite scandalous. She takes down her hair in front of others in public and wipes Jesus' feet with it. This is so powerful, so courageous, and at the same time so sensuous. So sensuous that it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. If I had been Jesus in that situation, I probably would have fainted. It's the kind of thing that would provoke others to say, "Are you out of your mind?" And Judas essentially asks that. Now, anointings happened with some frequency at the time of the Bible. They were typically done when someone was being honored or commissioned into service as a monarch or a leader of some kind. It was the head of the person that was anointed with oil. The woman who anoints Jesus' head in Matthew and Mark likely did so as a sign of Jesus' kingship, Christ the King. The word Messiah reflects this, defined as the anointed one. In this story from John, as in the one from Luke, it is not Jesus' head that's anointed, but his feet. This is theologically significant because it changes the purpose of the anointing from one of celebratory honor to contrite worship, from a royal commissioning to humble servant ministry. Was Mary out of her mind? In a way, yes. That's why I'm glad that the woman in this story is named Mary, sister of Martha and Lazarus, the one who was so mesmerized and inspired by Jesus that she did controversial things, the one who was so close to Jesus that she felt comfortable confronting him with her hurt and her anger, the one so grateful for his restoring life to her brother that she gave him the ultimate gift of love. We have an explanation for this strange event. Mary was out of her mind. Out of her mind in love. And we know why. When you love somebody with all your heart, nothing else seems to matter. Not what others think, not the norms or dictates of society, not what might be seen as appropriate or inappropriate by others, and not a $20,000 bottle of perfume. Nothing else matters. I'm very grateful to see and hear that all of you here at St. Mark's are doing land acknowledgments. You're acknowledging the indigenous people whose land that this church now occupies was once their home, and they still do have a presence here in the area, the Duwamish. You name them. You identify them. I think that's so important because by doing that, you continue to tell their story. They were here, and they're still around. So we honor them by doing a land acknowledgement. Acknowledging Mary tells her story, which is important because while she has not been traditionally included among the disciples, she teaches us a lesson that none of the disciples do, at least not in the Gospels. Mary teaches us how to love Christ and how to follow Christ more than any of the disciples did. What did the disciples do? What did they do? They argued with each other over who was the greatest. They didn't understand what Jesus taught, and they needed to have it explained to them. They abandoned Jesus at his greatest hour of need, with one of them even denying that he knew him. Mary anointed Jesus with expensive perfume, yes, but more than that, She gave him her heart, her soul, her life. As we approach Holy Week, the focus becomes more on Jesus and less on us. Less on us. The more we focus on Jesus, the more we focus on those whom he loved and was called to be with. The poor, the sick, those who are victims of hate, injustice, violence, and war. Those who are lonely, those who are marginalized, those who are forgotten. We are called to focus on what is really important and to cast aside those things that are not. By doing so, we become aware that the only things that we really possess are the things that we give away. That generosity and love go hand in hand. And for these things, Mary is our teacher. I'm so glad to be with you all today. It's an honor and a privilege to be in such a wonderful cathedral and learn about your very unique history. I'm grateful to Father Steve for his invitation to come here and for his shepherding me around here this morning, showing me the ropes. You wouldn't happen to know anything about how to drive a BMW, would you? No? We'll talk later. I'm so glad. This is a good day for me, and I hope it is for you too. My prayer is that your Holy Week will be a time of inspiration, and that your Easter may be a gift of joy and gladness. Metocracy.